Bay Roadshow, episode number 463. My name is John Morgan. With me today, a special guest. I'm excited to bring in light of the Super Bowl being in Las Vegas, I am so happy to bring to you an expert in the field who can really help us dig into the narratives behind Super Bowl 58, the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers. It is full-time Super Bowl and NFL reporter Cole Coffey. What's going on, Cole Coffey?
Oh, man. Feels good. You know what it's like, you know, day after day, rubbing elbows with the big powers that be. You know, at one point, you know, I happened to bump elbows with Dan Marino today. I was like, hey, Dan, what's up, ooh, son? And he was like, oh, hey, fellow. You know, and we walked by. And the other day, yesterday, I was talking to Chris Olave, and another Buckeye alum was in there. You know, just big, you know, big things, you know. No, actually, I did happen to walk by Dan Marino when I was walking out one of the exits. And Dan Marino is huge, boy. He's big, a lot bigger than I thought.
Really?
You know? I mean, I knew he was big back in the day, but he's a big boy. But he was actually one of the ones that kind of, I didn't even say starstruck, but when I walked out, I was like, oh, shit, that's Dan Marino. I was like, dude, that's a legend right
there.
That's
a legend right there. That's a legend.
Yeah, that's a legit legend. No, it's cool. It's cool. But yeah, I mean, it's just something different. But you know what's funny is, like what we said before, we're in the MMA bubble. I know MMA guys. If I see an MMA guy, I'll know who it is.
Right.
In a lot of other sports and NFL, I don't know.
No,
you know,
clue.
Like you'd say some names, I'm like, and a lot of guys are like that. I'm like, that guy looks familiar. But in football, everybody's wearing a helmet.
Right.
You know, and unless you're really following the stuff and you're seeing post interviews or something, I don't know what a lot of these dudes look like unless I'm, you know, I don't follow a lot of them on social media. I don't do any of that sort of stuff, so I don't know who they are. At one point, they brought Max Crosby, and I'm like, that dude looks familiar. He's for the Raiders, you know, but I don't really follow the Raiders stuff, but we were interviewing him, and I was like, why is this dude familiar? And they're like, that guy's on the Raiders. Like, I should know. I'm like, and? Like, I'm like, y'all don't realize. I'm like, I offered to shoot some stuff for Raiders Wire like a year or so ago, and they were like, well, we're not really doing video. And I was like, okay, that's weird. But I was like, okay, well, if you're not going to ask for it, I'm not going to push for it. So maybe if that happened, I would be more in tune with the Raiders beat. I think next year I am going to maybe try to reach out to shoot some more of that stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But honestly, like the energy in the place is just kind of crazy, man. It's buzzing in there in this radio row. There's some of the major outlets and stuff that have like big booths. And we happen to be right, you know, I could throw a rock and it would hit the Pat McAfee booth where Dana was and some other people. But then there was like this big PFT. I can't remember what it stands for, but a few of the bigger outlets on the outside and stuff. So that was kind of neat. But on the inside, it's just table after table after table and small little backdrops. We don't even have a backdrop on ours because most of the team flew out. But dude, it's bonkers, man. But the energy is it's very unique. I got there at like 8 a.m. I think I rolled out of there 4-ish, 4 something like that. And it's definitely tiring, but man, it's a buzz. It's definitely a kind of a rush. It's kind of a little sort of crazy. But for me, the best of all things, I've just been shooting. I've been shooting and uploading, dude. Like that's my shit. I'm like, oh, you want me to shoot? You want me to just shoot and just upload it? Okay, cool. I can do that. So, dude, I'm loving life right now. So it's kind of cool working with some of the USAT team from most of them are from the New York office. So a lot of them live out of Jersey. There's a couple of there from like the DC office, and then one reporter's from Denver that's out there or something. So it's pretty cool, man.
That's
it's
awesome.
Pretty cool. But yeah, it's a nice switch up from the UFC Norm. So instead of doing the media day, which you did today,
yeah,
I was at Radio Row doing the Super Bowl stuff. And I got one more. Tomorrow will be my last sort of covering during the Super Bowl. And then I'll go back to the MMA beat for Friday's weigh-in and then Saturday fight night. And unfortunately, I did not. There's limited tickets per outlet, so I did not get one of the tickets for the Super Bowl. So I like most other people, will be watching it on TV on Sunday.
Oh, so wait, so some of the people do get, like, if you're just on Radio Row, some people do get tickets to actually go to the game?
Well, a lot of the people on radio are like the reporters.
Yeah.
You know, that would actually be there actually writing stories and doing other little sort of stuff.
Right.
So, but yeah, as for a particular outlet, they're limited on how many actual tickets to the press box. You've seen, like, just like in the UFC events, a lot of times we might have multiple, you know, junkie guys in town, but if we reach a certain credential threshold, the UFC or so, whoever might just be like, sorry, I can only give you so many credentials for fight night or whatever. But during the media day or during the media events, all the stuff that nobody cares to really go to, we can give you plenty of credentials, you know? whereas like Rady Row's a grind, man. Lots of interviews, lots of other stuff. You have PR people just walking around, trying to get their guys in. If there's an opening, they're always coming by and like, hey, is there any openings? Can we get so-and-so in? Can we come in and plug this and this and this and this? So a lot of the players that are coming through are there on the dime of somebody. So one of our shoots was shooting some of the football players up in a big setup at Bounty. So Bounty's there, and so they're wearing their Bounty things. Bounty's is like giving wings out to like the media. They're having their little paper towels, their Bounty paper towels. But Bounty grab is the ones that were bringing these football players, and then media was make then the PR team for Bounty would reach out and say, hey, what are your openings, blah 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 blah. Then you'd set up. So I'm shooting a shot at the Bounty booth with a helmet that has Bounty on it, two paper towel rolls of Bounty in the shot, and this other kind of stuff. And part of you just like, this is ridiculous. But that's how the interview was set up, was through these PR firms. So on the Radio Row, you're seeing these different athletes and stars and legends, whoever, getting sort of walked around by these PR people, just going to the different booths where they have things set up. It's not like a media day for a UFC event back in the day where everybody just sort of stationed there and then either the media went around, or old Radio Rows where you have a table and they just walk the people to each table.
Right.
There's hundreds of tables, so there's no way that they would ever try to walk anybody from table to table to table.
Right.
So this is part of how they would do it. They just sort of reach out in advance. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's so unique. It's different. It's the first Super Bowl that I've done a draft thing that was here in town, but I've never done the Super Bowl. But it was it's very unique, man. It's been a fun sort of learning experience to how they've done it. But honestly, I definitely feel honored that they kind of were like, hey, you know, we're coming. Can you come help us? You know, and they've been real grateful and gracious. You know, me being the kind of perfectionist them, I'm like, is my shots good? Are you good? And I'm like, what's the feedback I'm getting? They'll be like, no, everything's good. Everything's great. Blah, 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 blah.
They got no feedback, bro.
But I'm still like, you know, I'm just like, still, I'm like, are we good? Are we good? Are we good? We good? You know? But it's been a trip, man.
That's awesome.
It's been a trip. And it's been very cool.
Has it been Mandalay Bay where everything's set up?
Mandalay Bay for everything. There's been other stuff sort of spread out, but Mandalay Bay and, you know, it's funny, like we used to go to the Mandalay Bay.
Love that property.
All the time.
Love that property.
All the time, yep. You know, and so it's like going back there was like, it was like, hello, old friend. And then seeing like all this other stuff. Dude, the NFL is legit, like in their sort of setup. So when we get there, it's down in the media workrooms down in the old Bayside rooms, the meeting rooms on the bottom,
right?
But where the actual Radio Row is back up on the level. So like, say, you know where the food court is in the back towards where like the Shark Reef and stuff,
yep.
That new like the big extended area back there is where like the Radio Row is, in the part that where they built when they took over part of the parking lot and stuff, and they end up building the convention center further out that way. That's where like this Radio Row is, but we can't just stay on the upper floor and walk over there. You have to go down the escalator to go through the security where they're x-raying your bags. Anytime you leave like the cordoned off area, if you go out into the main casino, you have to go back down through the escalator, through the security again.
Wow.
So they're legit. They tag your bags. But once you're down in there and then, you know, you go up into the Radio Row, you're good. You can go between media work row, the media workroom downstairs and up in the media row. But the NFL, they're legit, dude. And and part of it, I think we'll say the Mandalay staff, how they have it very well staffed. They're really good on pointing everything out. And part of that, why it's so good, is that there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people pointing it out and a lot of other stuff. So NFL has spent a ton of money to have people coming in. And we talk about F1 and the economic impact and, you know, all these jobs that they're going to do. You could literally see the jobs that have, you know, came from this, from just the different staff that have been brought on for this sort of stuff. And man, it's pretty legit. It's pretty amazing. And last night's media night party or whatever it was.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Now, see, that's where I was going with everything, right? Because, first of all, let me just say, it is cool. The energy in town is building. You can definitely tell, like, people are coming into town. There's signage all over the strip. I mean, it seems like every property has some Super Bowl branding, and, you know, there's Chiefs and Niners logos everywhere. The stadium itself is all decorated and lit up and all that. So it's cool, man. It feels big. And, obviously, the Super Bowl is, like, I mean, it is. I mean, it's got to be like the most iconic U.S. sporting event at this point, right? I mean, it's
What else is big? I mean, outside the World Series, but I mean, like, I think the Super Bowl dwarfs the World Series, right?
Super Bowl dwarfs the World Series now. Yeah, I mean, I would consider the Super Bowl to be the quintessential American sporting event, like the biggest one of the year. So it's cool to have it here, and obviously very clear that we will be in the rotation moving forward with the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. You got to imagine, you know, obviously New Orleans is still in the mix, Miami's always in the mix, SoFi in LA is always going to be
New Orleans the next one.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the order is. But you know those handful of stadiums that's going to be big. You know Vegas is going to be in steady rotation. But when I said, hey, full-time MMA Super Bowl reporter, it was not because I assumed you were enjoying the shooting of the activity at Mandalay Bay. I was seeing some of the social media tweets of this party that was going on. What is this about? I mean, we get excited every now and then when, like, the USC rolls in like 12 Bud Lights and a pizza for us to split, and they're like, bro, here you go. We got some treats for you. And we're all like, oh, we'll just tear these pieces of pizza in half and split these beers, and we'll be great.
I'm going to take this whole box of cold pizza and hide it in the front row so we can splurge.
But no, it seemed like this thing was like, I mean, is this one of the nicest events you've ever attended in your life? It seemed like it was insanely over the top.
And it wasn't, and I don't think it was just purely the NFL and like a media party, because there were some people that were there that had done charities in town that were, I think they purchased tickets to go to this party. So it was a mix of like a media mixer / VIP party thing. And outside of this big giant Grand Prix Plaza, which is like associated with the F1 building or whatever, or it's like the F1 headquarters or whatever, they had tons of like the Asian restaurants here in town that had little booths outside, and it was all free. You could just walk up and you get a little sampler and then you just move on your way. And they had a stage there, and they were giving, I think there was a proclamation for one of the Asian American organizations here in Vegas or something. They got a proclamation from a state senator or something. So that was going on the stage outside. While all these booths, because they weren't ready to open up all the levels inside of the actual F1 facility, because there were three floors. There was a ground floor where they had like cool, like old Shelbys and Cobras and all these cool, just amazingly cool cars. The second level was music and food and was decked out like all like sort of lounge Vegas act. And like, I was going to take some pictures, but they were also very worried about like credentials. They didn't want to have any pictures in the credential. And plus too, I was starting to get my little drink on, and I was like, I don't want to put something up that's going to embarrass myself. So I was like, let's just keep your phone in your pocket and enjoy the party.
Right.
And on the third floor was more of like what they called their modern era, where they had like more like EDC sort of feel, like it was brighter lights and LED lights. The second floor was legit. The vibe was amazing. When we were there, they had this like really cool jazz bar band playing. They had different like game setups, like where if you want to play poker or roulette, no money, just like fake, whatever.
Yeah.
But they were handing out all this free food. By the time I got to the second floor, I was absolutely stuffed because I ate at like every booth outside. And then they'd come by with these giant meatballs and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh my God, yes, let's do this. You'll get a kick out of this. So when we get in on the ground floor, we finally get in, there was like, because people were like, we'd see people walking around outside with like these glasses of wine. I was like, where's the alcohol at? Where's the wine at? They're like, oh, if you go inside this doorway here, there's wine inside there, and there's some free other alcohol. And then at 7 o'clock, the upstairs opens up, blah, blah, blah. So I go in there, and there's these line of like these wine glasses that are already pre-poured. And I see this woman sort of pouring out, and I go over and grab one of the red wines. I'm like, hey, this looks good. It was about maybe, it was one of these big wine glasses. So it was maybe about a fourth of the way full or whatever.
Right.
Me being me, I was like, well, I can just grab two more of these other glasses and pour them in, or I can politely walk over to this young lady and say, hey, and I just straight up went to her. I was like, hey, I'm gonna either grab a couple more of these and pour into my glass, or while you're filling up, can you top me off a little bit? And she's like, oh yeah, sure, honey.
Oh yes.
So she filled me up a nice proper glass right when I walked in. I was like, I'm just gonna be real. I was like, there's all these wine glasses. They're like just barely filled. I was like, I get what they're trying to do, like for civil people to come in here and just enjoy and sip on the wine, where I was like, hey, it was cold outside, can I warm up with some alcohol real
you're like,
quick,
you know? You're like, hey, ma'am, I'm actually MMA media, if you know what I'm saying. And she's like, oh, gotcha, sir, let me top gotcha. You off right now.
She's like, here, let me crack open another one for you.
And hey, then in proper, I respect that. I would like to applaud that. I respect
well you're
that.
Gonna get you I channeled my John Morgan when I got to the second floor, because as soon as we got to the second floor, I had my glass of wine. I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good. And then I looked over to the right and I saw the bar had this drink that had tequila in it. And I was like, well, I still have this really full glass of wine, because I re-upped by that point. I was like, should I just double fist? Should I order this tequila drink that looks really good? And so I did. So then yes. I was double fisting, and yes. then they're still trying to walk up to me, offering me food. I was like, unfortunately, both my hands are covered in alcohol. I can't take this food you're offering me, but thank you very much, you know. So for a good stretch of the second level when we're walking through, I was literally, let me sip a little wine. Okay, let me go back to this tequila drink.
Yes.
Let me sip a little wine and yes. let me go back to this tequila drink. And it was at that point I decided, I was like, let me just hide my press pass here real quick. I don't want anybody seeing my name, because I'm looking like that guy. But it was incredible. They had
That's awesome.
Dancers, you know, just beautifully. I'm like, beautiful, beautiful. Like when Vegas brings out girls to do like the marketing and promotions for like organizations and parties, they bring it.
Yeah.
So this second floor, they brought it. They were dancing along. There was this great jazz band that was playing. They were singing, and they were the dancers off the side were dancing to it. Dude, it was such a vibe. I was like, dude, I could live in this second floor. It was so good.
The band always sounds a little bit better when the alcohol is free. You know what I'm saying? You're like, is this the
that
greatest
is true, but
band
no, they
I've
were
ever?
Legit. They were good. They were a really good band. But you're right. You're right. You know, and it's funny, as a musician that used to play, we always felt like we played better when we drank as well. So I'm sure we sounded better when everybody was drinking the same. But they were like legit. They had like three piece horn section part of it: drummer, keyboardist, a male singer, female singer, bass, guitar. It was like a full on jazz band. It was really, really good. But dude, yeah, by the end, yeah, it was funny. I was full. My belly was full. I had a nice little buzz. I was like, after like maybe 2.5 hours, end up leaving. I was like, this is proper. This is yeah. perfect. I was like, if I stay here any longer, I'm gonna have a hangover tomorrow. I'm gonna get shit faced. I was like, I don't want to be that guy, because I was bumping in. I bumped into people from the MGM. I bumped into Lene and some of the UFC staff. Nice. You know, and other stuff. I was like, okay. You're out in public, settle down. I was like, I haven't been out drinking in a while. And then part of me was like, I can still do it. I can still do this. But dude, like I said before, hangovers in 2024 feel worse than 2023 as I get older. So I was like, let's not do that. And I know I had to be back at Radio Row at like 8. I ended up getting back up there today at like 8:30. So I was getting up at like 6, and I was like, let's not go too hard. But dude, it was fantastic. I mean, kudos to the NFL. I have never seen anybody. And again, I will say, I don't think it was just like a media thing. I think it was a combination to something else, and with these VIP and these other people that were putting it together. But the whole spectacle itself, I mean, I saw a little bit of the Blue Man Group do their thing. I left right before the Jabberwockies was going on to do a little thing. Like, these are legit performers here in town.
And like
all the people that were like major acts, you know. So, dude, they spared no expense, man. It was, I can only imagine what the bill would be for what they put on that last night. It was unreal. Unreal.
The NFL money is real money. Now,
did you like that picture of the sphere that I put? I know you would. Did you see the picture on Twitter I put on from the sphere?
I don't think I did. From the sphere.
No, of the spear. Of
oh,
the
what
spear.
Was it? What was it? No, I don't think I saw it.
They put a giant Super Bowl ring on it, but it wasn't just any old Super Bowl ring.
Oh, I did see that one. Yeah.
It was the Dallas Cowboys. I was like, why is it the Dallas Cowboys? But I figured you would get a camera, because I know you're a Cowboys boy.
That was
but,
awesome.
But, dude, that ring was amazing. Like, the sphere, like, the stuff they put up there, it looked so good, but that ring was, it was blingy as all get out. And then did you hear about the dude today?
Oh, I was going to ask you, was that before or after the dude started scaling the sphere today?
That was
the,
that was before. That was today, that? I think.
Yeah, that was today. That was nuts. I saw the guy. I actually, Metro just tweeted not that long ago that they arrested the guy. So I'm sure, I imagine
people. He needed to get arrested. That was, it was too dangerous, and it was just ridiculous for what he was doing. And I would hate to see more people try to copycat what he did. And if people don't know what we're talking about, some dude scaled the sphere today and had a GoPro on, was like, I don't know if he was live streaming it or whatever, and he was supposed to be doing a charity for a homeless woman or
a women's charity. I want to say
a women's
maybe,
charity or something.
I want to say maybe I want to say maybe a pro-life charity. Maybe I believe maybe I didn't see that, but he was trying to raise awareness for we're trying to raise some money and raise some awareness for a cause. But yeah, to do so, he scaled the sphere. And yeah, I saw Metro tweeted earlier that, they have arrested him. They've charged him, with, you know, a couple serious crimes. And I think it's exactly what you said is, I think they want to send a message that like, hey, don't take this casually. It's like, yeah, like it's like, oh, well, you know, cause it is a pretty easily accessible building, to be honest with you, the where it's built, there's not a lot of security around it.
Yeah. And when they were showing how he was getting down, I was like, is that's as easy? I'm like, that you could just scale it like that. I mean, like, it didn't look like it was, I mean, it didn't look like it were like there were footholds. It just looked like that the way that the outside cage of it or whatever looked, yeah, just looked scalable or something. But dude, it just looked like if it was slippery, like the guy could have easily slipped off the thing and could have died. Like, it was ridiculously dangerous. But yeah, that's just, it's just crazy. I mean, if you guess when there's this many people in town, somebody's going to do something. But regardless, yeah, man, the sphere, man, when they do stuff big. But yeah, when I saw that ring last night, I was like, I got to take a picture of that. But I figure
you did see that one. I'd forgotten about it. By the way, here's what Las Vegas Metro Police tweeted, that he was arrested today, and they just put, for climbing a structure in the 200 block of Sands Avenue, that would also be known as the sphere. He was booked into the Clark County Detention Center and charged with destroying property of another greater than $5,000 and conspiracy to destroy private property. So,
yeah, and who knows? Yeah, who knows what he could have damaged on the outside of it or something? I'm sure it's a pain in the butt, but yeah, ridiculous.
But
ridiculous.
All right, so last question I had about the party, by the way. Was there any part of you that felt a little torn inside? You were hanging out at the F1 facility. You have not been the biggest supporter of F1. Was there any part of you that's like, I'm going to take a stand and I'm walking out of this swanky shindigs right now because I will not be caught being entertained and enjoying libations and live music and free gourmet meals at this horrific den of terribleness?
No, because I don't think the F1 had anything to do with it. So that's why they're just using the building that the F1 put together or that we built for the F1. Who knows? That's why they call it the Grand Prix Plaza, not the F1 Plaza.
Oh,
I'm guesstimating.
Hey, anybody could hold a car race there. I mean,
any motherfucker could go there and do stuff. And it wasn't like they had any F1 cars in the bottom of it. They had other cars and stuff. Now, but no, I felt no sense to go. But, you know, I will tell you one thing. Just like you mentioned earlier, the buzz in town feels a complete 180 100%. From what it felt like when F1 was here. And what's crazy is you're seeing the impact. And this is the same thing I bitched about before. You know, I know I bitch about the F1. Like, show me the numbers. Show me it was worth it, and then I'll stop bitching about it. Until that point, what's different now is people have come into town, and people are going all through the town eating things, buying things. They're going all over downtown Vegas. They're going all over the strip. They're spending money. It's not a few properties that are winning out. People said, like, oh, let's just say MGM had record revenues that week. That's great. MGM did, but nobody else did. Maybe like one other properties. You can feel what the Super Bowl has brought to town. And so when the Super Bowl says, we think we're going to maybe do $600 to $800 million economic impact, brother, I believe it.
Yep.
I believe it. Like, I see it. I see the people, and it's crazy. It's the Chiefs and the Niners. But when I was leaving the Super Bowl media thing today and leaving out Mandalay Bay, I saw people repping all flavors of teams. I saw Steelers. I saw Ravens. I didn't see any Browns, unfortunately, but I get it. you saw all kinds of fans. So, like, people came into town still repping their things because they wanted to come to Vegas to see a Super Bowl, or they just wanted to come to Vegas and get caught up in the atmosphere. Maybe they've been to other Super Bowls and realized that all this other crazy stuff goes on to the periphery, because the NFL does put on a lot of extracurricular events throughout the week outside of just the big game. And I think a lot of people are coming and interacting with that. They had that grand opening the other night that had like 20 some thousand people into the Allegiant Stadium. They said that's like one of the biggest ever. So, I mean, the town's doing it right. So in terms of like the difference between what it felt for F1 and what it feels like the Super Bowl, the town has embraced it and you feel it spreading the money out. So I have every confidence that when they say that they're going to have this huge economic impact, I believe it because you see it everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, I'll, F1, whatever. I mean, it's not like I really care, but, you know, it's just crazy that they promised a big thing. The city bent over backward for it, and they've never showed us anything to prove that it was worth all the trouble we went through. They came into town for the Super Bowl, and the worst thing was they blocked the Bellagio fountains. Yeah. Who cares? You know, like a big deal. It wasn't the big craziness that it, you know, everything else. So it's crazy, dude. I'm excited for it. I don't think this town is going to be sad if they say, hey, in another 4 years, 6 years, they're like, hey, we're coming back.
Yeah.
It might even be sooner than that. New Orleans, I could totally see New Orleans, because New Orleans is like one of those destination towns. I think at this point, Super Bowl should go to destination towns. Yep. You know, there's plenty of them in America that have major sports teams, that spread the wealth around. Why not? You know, it's pretty darn cool. You know, I would love to see it back here soon. So sooner rather than later. It doesn't need to be 2 years, 3 years. But hey, man, in another 4 or 5 years, why not, man? Bring it back.
I think we're going to be probably, you know, once every 5 years or so, to be honest, if I'm just guessing. So I'm excited for that, because so far it has been amazing and it's still building up. Now, listen, you have been living the VIP lifestyle of the NFL, you know what I mean? And I saw the swanky shindigs, I saw the party, and I was little old me, MMA reporter. I mean, you remember Dana laid it out, right? Dana laid it out in that press conference that one time. He had the hand in the air, the NFL reporter, all the way down to where his hand was down by his knees. That's the MMA reporter.
The little piece of shit guys down at the bottom.
That's me. Whatever he's calling us now. That's me, the MMA. In fact, I'm barely even an MMA reporter anymore. I'm more of an MMA commentator now, so that's I don't know if that goes up or down from MMA reporter. I'm not really even sure where that goes.
I think you're a step up.
All right. So, but I was feeling a little bad. You know, I see you, and I'm like jealous, you know, a little FOMO over there. My guy's out here VIP, and I'm like, I got a VIP too. If he's going to flex, I got to flex. So, I mean, I don't want to make you jealous here, but I want to let you know that today – was grand opening of a high-end outlet in Las Vegas, right on the Strip, as a matter of fact. And within the first 4 hours of it being open, I was there. I got my son in, you know what I mean? Yeah, so me and my kid had a little father-son time. Red carpet, man. Hey, I can tell you this. When we walked up, they opened the door for us, and they said, welcome in, gentlemen. You know what I mean? Like, they were representing. And that was, of course, the grand
opening. What fine establishment was this?
The grand opening of Whataburger today on the Las Vegas Strip. My Texas people know. My Texas people know. Yes, it was funny. The Whataburger is now over there. Now, it is important to note there has been one before. I think there were a handful of them before, a long, long, long time ago. But there haven't been here in like 30, 40 years or something like that. They came back. They're on the Strip. It's 24/7. And as soon as I picked up my son Eli from school, I surprised him. I said, just jump in the car. We're going. He's like, where are we going? I'm like, don't worry about it. Come on with me. We went down there.
What'd you get? What's your Whataburger order?
I go a little bacon cheeseburger, just plain meat and cheese, bread. That's all I need. Yeah. Just, you know, plain and dry like that. Well, actually, I'll get a little ketchup only on there, some of their fries and the soda. It was good. Eli, they'll go crazy. Now. He got the sweet – the sweet and spicy bacon cheeseburger or something. I mean, we went out, and I'm telling you, it felt like a taste of home, man. It felt like being back in Texas. So you can have your F1 paddock, my man. You didn't hit Whataburger on day one. I'm forever etched in the history of the Whataburger on the Strip.
It's funny because I was teasing John earlier. I said he's all about this opening nightlife because you say the Whataburger, but let me refresh your memory. Let me refresh your memory. I think it was opening weekend of the Sphere. You went to the Sphere.
Correct.
All right, so that's part of that opening nightlife.
Correct.
I think in the maybe the first weekend when the Durango Resort opened up, I think you stayed out there.
That is correct. That is correct. Actually, we didn't stay out there at the hotel, but we did have dinner at the steakhouse.
Okay.
Which was probably more expensive than staying there, to be honest with you, by the time it was all said. After I was having...
People have been raving about that. Like, as for, like... The food places there, the steakhouse place is one of the places where they're saying this is where you gotta go.
Nico's is insane. It's called Nico's, which I'm assuming is named after Lorenzo's son, Nico Fertitta. I don't know that for a fact, but it would make sense. It's called Nico's.
That guy ain't never cooked for nobody. He ain't never cooked for himself, probably.
It's good though, man.
Nico's private chef. He just made him a restaurant.
I'm telling you, it's not inexpensive, but obviously it's, you know, 10 minutes down the road from my house. And in fact, I've already got a reservation for my birthday as well. We're going back because that place is, it's money.
So that's the one. That's your steakhouse that you're claiming that?
Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah, it's so good.
What's the one
good.
You used to go to another one? Was it the...
So I got a couple. So Oscar's at the Plaza is really
Oscar's,
good.
I knew you liked Oscar's,
My wife
was there
likes
one at the Tower. Was there one at the Stratosphere that you liked?
My wife likes it's Hugo Cellar, and it's at the Four Queens. Actually, it's old school at the Four Queens.
Okay,
yeah, it's really really good there. That's old school. Like, I mean, it's solid. But Nico's right down the road. I highly
Look
recommend
that.
It. So, but yeah. So anyway, I just want to let you know you weren't the only one rolling VIP. You know what I mean? I did that today. So, but any of my Texas people know that's. You know, it's not that I would say it's like the greatest burger ever, but you know, it is good.
But it's home.
It's home. It's a taste of home.
It's home.
Exactly.
I mean, when they
is.
Brought the White Castle out here, there was a line out there for months.
And that is not a good burger.
That
at
is
all.
Not. That is like, like I'm nostalgic because you know I grew up around them. You know, we had them in the down in our city, like right downtown. I mean, I could walk to one. But yeah, they were not great burgers. I mean, like we called them sliders for a reason because you ate them and then they slid out your butthole the next day or something like. This is like a proper burger place. I have heard, but because you're not the only. I think there's some other Texas people that do the media, and they've been talking about Whataburger coming as well forever. So I kind of forgot that it was coming, but it's I guess what a good week for them to open up right in the middle of Super Bowl week. So
that's
good
it.
On them.
They were actually they had actually advertised a date of like 2 weeks from now, but I guess what they did was kind of soft launch,
soft open, yeah,
yeah, without really advertising it. They saw it and being right in the middle of Super Bowl week, man, it was perfect. So yeah, so we rolled over there today right after school, which was nice, and yeah. It was cool for my family. Like you said, it was a taste of home. So,
Very cool. We'll
talk about the media day real quick. I mean, obviously not a ton to break down, but I did want to say it was kind of funny hearing you talk about how much you were enjoying, kind of doing something different, changing things up and working media day. It reminded me of my last weekend. If anybody does get a chance that didn't get an opportunity to and you got some spare time, go on to USC Fight Pass and watch our final CFFC match day event of the year. It was Campbell versus Appalachian State. I learned that this week. It is not Appalachian State. They call it Appalachian State. So you got to present it right and when you're talking about them. But it was so cool because, you know, obviously I've been doing a lot more commentating lately. In fact, this week I'll be going to Philadelphia to do CFFC 129. And I think that basically within, I've got to do the exact math, but when this event is done, within like a 5 week span, maybe 6 weeks for CFFC, I will have commentated on a submission grappling event, a Muay Thai event, a college wrestling event, and an MMA event, which is super awesome, man. Like, that was one of the chief reasons I left my previous job was I was wanting to do more commentary, so I'm really getting to a lot of it. But it was super cool because I pulled double duty. I spent the morning working in the production truck building all the graphics. Basically, like, so basically, like, I wrote all the graphics. I showed up with all the graphics that we were going to use. Like, here's what I want to lay out. Gave them to the producer beforehand, obviously. And I was like, what do you think? Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I want to use. I mean, obviously, I'll be commentating on it. So here's what I'm thinking I want. And then I went in there and I worked with the graphics guy and we built all that stuff. And then when it was lunch break, I changed into my suit, went out to the floor and called the fights and got to, like, you know, load up all those graphics that I've been building in the morning. It was kind of funny. We were joking, like, wouldn't it be great if, you know, if I was on headset and I was talking about something like, you know, it's incredible the run that these two guys have had in the Southern Conference. Jim, if you'll pull up graphic 3250, I'll
show
you.
Shut up.
We were joking, though. Like, would that not be hilarious, like, on headset?
That would have been
like,
absolutely ridiculous.
Call
that
back.
That would have worked out.
Would that be
like,
great?
I'm pretty sure we have a graphic that shows this, guys.
Because I built it earlier today.
Because built it.
But it was so cool, man, to be at this stage of my career and learning like a totally new skill and being a part of that. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the production work I've done. I really do enjoy it. But to get to do both in one day was awesome. And this event was amazing. Tay Gaudioli had been talking trash leading up to it. And it's kind of like a controversial thing in college wrestling because it's like, well, this is a sport built on respect. And, you know, you know, as soon as the match is over, it's just a quick handshake and get off the mat. Don't celebrate. And he's kind of a fan of MMA and a fan of, like, you know, selling this. He's like, he said it. He's like, dude, we need to sell this sport. It's a great sport, but we got to sell it. And people like this stuff. Our fans like it. The fans at Campbell, like, showed up with, like, signs, trash talking the other coach. And just, I mean, they made it an environment. And Tay, you know, came in and delivered in the final bout. And then he's, you know, cheering and. He was, I mean, it's a scene. You got to check it out. So if you get a chance to go watch it, check it out. It was not, obviously MMA is not my, you know, MMA is my forte. College wrestling isn't, but I'm learning about it. But getting to both roles was super cool in one day. So
that's very cool. That's unique. That's so cool. That's funny that you're even starting to build up graphics and stuff too. So you were helping, you were putting it together. You weren't actually building them on the machine. You had somebody else that was actually building them.
Correct.
But you were telling them the text and stuff. And
exactly. But. That's the next step. So I'm learning. I'm learning expression, which is legit,
and that's some truck shit.
I'm actually
that's
loving
cool.
it. We're actually working on now. You know, a lot of behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, I'm actually gonna get some training on that. I really enjoy it. I don't know. It's weird. Like I guess because like I don't know. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like, you know, making a video or writing a story and embedding 100%. Photos, like a website, creating something, you know what I mean? Like, I've really enjoyed the hell of it. I'm so happy I've had the chance to do it. And I want to actually learn the full expression. So, because what's happening was, I'm working with the graphics guy and I'm telling him like, look, here's what I envision. And I, you know, here's what I see in our package, you know, can you put this here? And then he'll build it. And I'm like, yeah, but can you change that and move this here? Can you switch that? And like, but I want to learn it all so I can just like do it all. Have it ready to go, and then be like, all right, I'm heading back out now. I'm going to call the fights and just dial up my graphics as I built them, please. You know what I mean?
Just to do a jack of all trades when you go there. And it just helps for the day you finally transition out of doing reporter work. You know, you're just doing straight commentary and production truck stuff. Then when the NFL comes out here and they need a guy that can work, that knows how to do expression for the truck, you can say, hey, I got
you. That guy. I'm
I got
that guy.
You.
It's funny, man.
That's cool. That's legit, man.
That's fun, man.
That's very cool. Very cool.
I'm really enjoying it. All right. Look, I guess the big news is of the day. I mean, you mentioned it, Dana being over there in the media day. I mean, I think the biggest headlines coming out of it are the fact that we still don't know what the hell Conor McGregor is going to do. I was, to be honest with you, I mean, obviously we're kind of running out of time on it, but I was convinced that they were still going to find a way to pull this thing off at 300. You know, that was going to kind of be the rabbit out of the hat. You know, I really believe they were going to be able to get it done. That doesn't appear to be the case. Now International Fight Week doesn't even appear to be the case. And now he's saying fall, hopefully. Gosh, I don't know, man. You know, there's been a lot of people that I've talked to along the way that have been like, Conor McGregor's never fighting again. Conor McGregor's never fighting again. And I'm like, you guys are wrong. He is. And I still think they're wrong. And I still think he is. But the more this stuff gets delayed and pushed back and it's not happening – you start to wonder, right? Or at least I am. Are you starting to wonder, like, is it possible that just doesn't want to do it anymore?
I could see that. I mean, the guy's doing movies. The guy's still making tons of money, the other stuff. But, I mean, when you see the stuff where he's actually in the gym training, it's hard to, like, just think that he's doing that to stay in shape. You know,
right.
Like, you got to think that he's trying to do that to sharpen the skill set, you know, and kind of get the iron warmed up again. And, I mean, maybe we hope and assume that that's happening on a regular basis. Maybe it's not. But when you saw some of the stuff that I think that made it over to the Mac Life, he looked good. I mean, he didn't look like a guy that hadn't thrown a punch in 6 months. You know, definitely looked like a guy that wasn't worried about a weight cut at any point. He was still jacked and huge. You know, he looked ginormous in there and was kind of manhandling the dude. And you see other people that are always like, does he tell these people to not punch back? Because he always just looks like he's overpowering them. I was like, that's part of it a little bit. Sometimes I just want a guy to get in there and let him give him work, you know? But when I see stuff like that, I have to believe and think that he's eventually trying to get back in there, and maybe the timetables just doesn't really quite work out to the whole, you know, he's got other irons in the fire, you know, maybe some of the dates, and then maybe is what's working out with Chandler. The main thing I worry about Chandler, you know, you look at Chandler hasn't fought since November of 2022. And now if we say, okay, well, if it's not going to be, in April, and it doesn't look like it's going to be in June or July, and now we're talking about August or September, before you know it, it's going to be 2 years since the dude's fought, you know, and is that what Connor wants? Is this Connor kind of stringing him along a little bit, and then he gets the fight at a bigger weight class, so then you got a guy that hasn't been fighting actively, so he's maybe lost his edge a little bit, and then he's going up to a bigger weight class against a guy that's ginormous, that's going to be cutting to get to this weight class. It certainly feels like he's padding in his direction, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's not happy with how he feels when he's getting rounds in the training, in the gym, that he's like, I need a little bit more time. Like, Dan, I need to stall a little bit, but, you know, we're going to play this game, and I'm going to be like, hey, why can't I have my fight? Why can't I have my fight? But, you know, he's like, bro, I'm just still really not ready yet. You know, he still hasn't done the 6 months of testing yet. If I would have thought about it, I would have pulled up to see if there's any more records of of tests on the UFC side. I think the last time I saw there was two. Was it three? Or I think two. It's been stuck at a number for a while, but I haven't looked. So I'm not sure if that number's increased. I do believe it's going to happen. I believe he's got to have at least one more fight into him. Then depending on where we see from that, you know, maybe then he decides, like, losing is not good for me. But I think he has a great chance of beating Michael Chandler. And I think he's doing all the right things to make that happen by making Michael wait longer and longer and longer, put it at a weight class that puts Chandler at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Connor's just big, but I mean, I think I think once he's ready and he feels like he can go five rounds at a heavy pace against a guy that has like sort of a wrestler style and he feels good, I think it's just a matter of then the fight could happen, you know? I mean, it's all in Connor's court at this point. I know he wants to try to get earlier, but you have to clear the 6 months. So April was going to be it anyways. And then when it came down to June or July, I'm sure there's probably something else outside of fighting that is causing an issue that they can't get around. Because it certainly doesn't seem like it's anything on Chandler's side. Chandler, if you told him the fight was tomorrow, he'd be like, cool, screw the testing, we don't even need it. And he's been saying that from day one. So you have to think that it's either a dollar amount that's trying to happen from Connor and the UFC, or it's just a matter of Connor's not feeling completely ready yet and maybe wants a little bit more time. But it's certainly between the UFC and Connor to make this happen.
It sounds like there's definitely some contract discussions at play, and like, as you said, the dollar figures and trying to get that all worked out. But it is interesting, right? Because really, if you think about it, I think Connor's trying to take a page from the UFC's book, right? Because Connor's just like, I don't know, I'm ready, they won't give me a call. Like, as if like the two haven't been in extensive conversations. Like, he's just sitting, like, I don't know. I mean, I double checked to make sure they got the right phone number. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like,
Dana said, like, I can't get a hold of Connor. Yeah, like, he says they talk all the time. That's, you know,
they're taking a page from that book, right? You know, because, you know, sometimes Dana will be like, well, he just didn't want to fight. You know what I mean? Well, what he means is people didn't want to, you know, he didn't agree to those terms, or he didn't want to do it for this money, or he didn't want to do it. You know, and so it feels like Connor's trying to do the same thing, where it's like, you know, he doesn't agree to terms, but instead of saying like, well, they've offered me something, but I'm not really on board with it, it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm just waiting for him to call me and tell me. Well, no, you're waiting for him to call you with the number that you want. You're waiting for him to call you with the terms that you want. But the way they phrase it, it's a little bit of posturing. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I do agree with you.
It's going to happen.
I've stood adamant that he's going to fight again, even with all the people that said he's not. And even with these changes, I still do. But you do start wondering, and you touched on it, man, at some point, And I know Michael Chandler says, hey, it's worth the wait. And I know Michael Chandler has said, hey, man, I got other business things going on. Like, I'm making money in other places. And you know, he even said, I value this time off because I've had more time with my family. And I've been a more present father. And I've been a more present husband. And I value this time. And I believe he really means that, you know, that I got to take my foot off the gas a little bit. And I got to kind of reorganize some things in my life. And I'm cool with it. But, man, at some point, if you're Michael Chandler, you got to cut bait, right? And be like, dude, you know what, man? If I was going to make $5 million to fight, you know, Connor, and I'm going to make $1 million to fight somebody else, well, $1 million is better than zero. I mean, I don't know. Is that dumb business that at some point you cut bait and you don't wait on the big check anymore because you're no longer, you know, what is it? The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know what I mean? Is it dumb business to think that way and to just keep holding out forever? Because I don't know, man. I feel like at some point you got to be like, I don't know what's up with this dude. I've waited 2 years. It's time for me to move on.
You would think if money was an issue that he has to at some point. At some point you can only wait so long before you have to provide for your family. I mean, you get it. Yep. I mean, when you're I don't know what the situation is in household. I believe he's pretty much the sole provider of that household. At some point, he's, you know, enough's enough. But you got to set the pride aside. But I mean, I think he realizes that payday is going to be better than any other regular his contract fight's going to be. But honestly, I can see if he takes a fight because he has to. Connor, being the little trickster that he is, if Chandler loses, Connor easily could be like, why do I want to take that fight anymore?
He'd be
You're
out.
Bum.
100%
You're
he's
bum.
Out.
You're bum. You out. Lost. You know? And so it's like, he can't risk. I would say, keep holding out because Connor's into it. He seems into it. Like, Connor's saying all the things. UFC saying all those things. I mean, it can't be much longer. I would say hold out again. If it doesn't happen this year, then yes, brother. If you don't have things to where you need to fight again, then fight. But at this point, we're in this year. It looks like now he was willing to wait whatever, and it looks like it's not going to happen in April. It's not going to happen in June, July. But if fall looks the good thing and he's willing to wait, you might as well just say, I'm willing to wait out this year if he has the money in the bank to do it. But after this year, then enough's enough, I would say, at that point. You can't hold your – unless you don't need to fight. I mean, I think we've said this before on some of these cats that have done the right thing. I think Chandler enjoys fighting. I think he enjoys the rush of it, but I think he's also a smart cat that understands if he doesn't need to take the damage upon his body, why would I go in there and just fight somebody that's not going to be possibly the biggest thing of his life? If he was willing to just go in there and fight anybody, I think we would have already seen. I think he's making the idea in his head that if he gets this big fight from Connor, that maybe that'll be it. You know, maybe if that's big enough that he's like, hey, I just sat out the last 2 years of my life. This was great. I'm glad to get this win. This is that bucket list one I wanted to get. This is that head on the wall that I really wanted to. Now I'm going to go spend the time with my family. My sons are getting older. I want to play with them. You know, I've been kind of, you know, I mean, maybe he's enjoying the time that he's had with them now because he hasn't been stuck in fight camps or whatever. But, I would say at this point, I would be willing to wait out this year because it's going to be that good. And if he loses, Connor's going to just shit on him and not 100%. Give him the fight.
No, he'd be done.
It's not worth the risk. You know?
It was funny as you were laying that all out, what came to my mind, you know, I said that old phrase, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, but it came to my mind, but is a bird in the hand worth 10 in the bush? Because it's, you know what I mean? Like, this is the fight. It's not, you know, that saying is, hey, take what's guaranteed because you're not necessarily guaranteed because it's a little bit more of something else. Yeah. But this is the fight. You know what I mean? This is the red panty night, right?
Yeah, because especially, I mean, if he's getting points for it or something, it's a night and day from whatever his contract is. Say his contract was even a flat $500,000. I don't know what it is. That's still pale in comparison to one percentage point of these things. I mean, like, it's pretty ridiculous because if he gets his fight purse and one percentage, all this little extra stuff. And again, that just makes me think that if he was really in his mind thinking, I have this idea of I want to hit a certain amount of fights before I finally retire, then I could walk away. Then I could see where maybe he's like, okay, do I keep waiting? I think now in his head, he's probably thinking, you know, let me at least get this red panty night that I've heard and seen this life-changing money. And then I don't envision he's going to be around much longer. I mean, he's done all he needs to do for a career. Why not get the biggest name in the sport on the, you know, on the opposite side of the cage and then have a good night and then possibly walk away, you know, a richer man and still have his wits and his body. We've seen tons of guys that have went way too long in this game and now are unfortunately reaping the benefits of all that damage on their body and all the, you know, the wear and tear on their brains. The guy still seems like he's got his shit together, man. Like he's taking care of his money. I think he has multiple, you know, sort of little business ventures going off to the side. I think he just wants one big last one. And that's why he's been willing to sit out, because the UFC and Conor keep saying the right things. If Conor stopped at some point when we didn't get the fight right after the coaching ended and Conor was like, it was fun for a while, I moved on to bigger things, then maybe we would have seen Chandler maybe fight again. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, when I hear Chandler talk about fighting, it's only Conor. I hear him not interested. He hasn't said anybody interests him at all. So in my mind, I think he's got one more fight in his head, depending on how this goes. Unless, say he wins, Conor's like, no, we're running it back. Well, of course, dude's going to fight again. I just see that this is the final fight that Chandler's been waiting for because of financially, but also the dude's already done so much in that sport. He's already established himself as one of the best that's done it, you know. So why prolong it? I mean, he's got everything that most fighters fight to reach to. He's established all that stuff. So why keep bringing that damage unless you just love it? And I don't think we're hearing from him saying, like, I just can't wait to get in there and smash dudes' faces. Like, that's not it. He's just trying to provide for his family. And so he wants this one big last fight. So I think he's willing to wait out this year. And if he doesn't get it, then maybe, or maybe just say, that's it, you know, because then at that point he's established that he can survive for 2 years without fighting. He's probably pretty well off to the fact where he could just stay not fighting.
Do it okay.
You know?
So. Well, it will certainly be worth monitoring, to say the least. And, boy, I still am interested to see what they come up with for UFC 300 because it's a phenomenal card. It's a fantastic card. But
yeah, the opener, what was he saying, Figgy and Garbrandt? Was that
Figgy
already on
Garbrandt
the
sheet? Garbrandt is fight number one. Yeah, that's fight
crazy.
Number one. That's amazing. That's set the tone.
Well, as people like to shit on Apex, that's an Apex headliner. 100%. Easily. I mean, that could be 100%. A headliner on maybe another fight night, not in the Apex. I mean, that's a huge fight. That's a huge fight.
It really is. So looking forward to that. But it does need that marquee something at the top of the bill to make it 300. There's no question about it. But, I mean, anybody that's shitting on the card, like, I'm sorry, you're just being a hater. The card is phenomenal. But I do agree, for it to be, you know, UFC 300, it needs that little something at the top where you go, okay, yeah, you know, and I think Conor would have provided that. We'll see.
Now it's just like, well, what is it going to be? What's left? What's possibly left?
I think if it's Drickus and Easy – Easy comes back from the grave and he's fighting middleweight and he's singing prime NWA songs as he does it, like, I'm in, that's UFC 300 worthy right there. I'm like, we want Easy. I mean, you know, that would be, but if it's Izzy would also be acceptable as well.
I suppose so.
I would
prefer close second.
I think Izzy would be more spectacular, but Izzy would be good as well. All right, UFC Fight Night 236 is this weekend. You know, listen, media day today was a small one. Like you said, I was there. There was probably only about 5, 6, maybe 7 media members there, but there were, I mean, obviously, Super Bowl media was going on, and a lot of people like yourself were pulling double duty, so it was a little bit smaller one. But certainly some intriguing ones along the way. Joe Pyfer, I encourage people to go watch the video of Joe Pyfer. Obviously, he's great on the mic, and he was great on the mic once again today. Listen, he lays it out there, man. He just said, look, and he even said it. He's like, look, I'm just saying what I feel, and if this backfires, I understand people are going to be laughing at me and going to make a meme out of me and whatever else. He's like, but I got to be honest with you. He's like, I just don't see how this guy hurts me. He's like, I don't, I don't see his grappling. He's like, I think there's a massive speed difference that you're going to see. He's like, I think there's a massive power difference that you're certainly going to see. And he's like, I just don't see how this dude hurts me. And so therefore, I think I get it done in pretty spectacular fashion. Meanwhile, Hermanson obviously sees things a little bit different, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And he says, look, I just, you know, and Hermanson, look, he did say, look, I think Piper's a dangerous dude. There's no question about it. He's like, but he's like, look, I've been here. I've done this. You know what I mean? Like, I see this, you know, these guys, you know, everybody gets behind the new kid. You know, this is the guy. Oh my God. Look at this guy. He's the guy. And then, you know, they slip up and they learn, okay, wait a minute. The levels are a little bit different than I thought they were. I wasn't quite ready for where I thought I was, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this sport is hard to do. Jack actually did say something, too, about – I was asking about – we were talking about the middleweight division, how much has changed because he's been out for over a year and, like, the way the belt has changed hands and that sort of thing and whatever. And he was actually talking about the fact he's like, I think – and I honestly don't disagree with him because we were talking about, like, the long reigns of, like, Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre and Demetrius Johnson and, you know, even John Jones. And he's like, man – he's like, I just feel like MMA is in a place now where, like, the level is so high that I just don't think we're going to see, like, incredibly long-reigning champions in any division anymore. And I was like, you know what? I think you're kind of right, to be honest with you, man. It's just so hard now. The sport's just better and better. But anyway, so that's kind of laid out. But I think it's where, I mean, Jack Hermanson, he's Jack Hermanson. He's not going to be disrespectful. You know, I mean, he's a good dude. But he's not.
Yeah, he's always been very polite. You know, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that he was up there, you know, raging over, ever.
He's not going to give any sound bites. Piper, worth listening to. He did give some sound bites. Like I said, he just laid it out. He's like, look, I love it. He's like, I just don't see how this guy's going to hurt me. Maybe they'll come back and bite me in the ass, but I just don't see how this guy's going to hurt me.
So where are you leaning? Where are you leaning?
I do
being in the room, feeling the energy, seeing both of them, how they look, where you're leaning.
Pfeiffer's a big, strong dude, and he is just full of energy right now, confidence brimming. He's got the chip on his shoulder. You know what I mean? He's like, man, I know everybody doubts me, and he's like, well, really, I don't get too many negative messages. Like, mostly it's support. But still, I know nobody believes me where I came from. You know, he's just got that chip on his shoulder. He's just got that drive. You know what I mean? And, I do like Piper in this one. Hermanson's crafty. He's got tricks. But, man, Piper just one shot over five rounds, and that can change everything. So
yeah, and I'm leaning towards Piper as well. I will say I was going to bring it up to you because it's funny. I asked you that because remember when we were trying to pick for the Imavov and Dalidze fight, I had initially picked Imavov, and I was talking with you guys. You guys are, nah, man, Dalidze, man, nobody's ever, blah, blah. I was like, you guys, I think you guys are right. So I swapped my pick. Fight night, I was like, why did I listen to J-Mo and them? I should have kept my original pick.
Gosh, Dalidze was flat, man.
Dalidze did not look like what we thought we were going to see in that fight. I don't know what was going on.
It's weird, yeah, because I haven't talked to you since then. It's not that Imavov, I mean, it's so weird because I don't want to take away from Imavov. Like, I mean, he fought a great fight, right? But Dalidze was just flat. In the and a half episode, I was talking about maybe it's just the fact that he did get rocked early on, and from there he was on cruise control. Because if that's the case,
he did get rocked.
If you talk to him now and he's basically like, gonna be honest with you, bro, don't remember anything after the first round. Like, I don't recall being in there. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Then you would be like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fighting on instinct for 20 minutes. Like, I get it. That makes sense. That's why you didn't do anything that you probably should have done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you're right.
That's funny. But, because it was thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to ask Morgan. I was like, but regardless of what he says, I'm sticking with my Piper pick.
Yeah,
I was like, they swayed me last week. But, I just think Joe, man, he's got power, man. I think we're seeing his hand. And we've seen when the dude gets people down on the ground, man, he's just very, very impressive. And Hermanson, while he is good on the ground as well, I mean, like, it's about his hands. And, man, I'm interested to see the battle of the stand-up game because, I think Piper, he said it right. People doubt that he has actually, like, the power and the skills. And I think this is the perfect matchup to show it. And I hate to call Hermanson, a gatekeeper. But at this point, you know, this is one of those guys that if a guy is trying to prove themselves as being something that's worth being in the top 10, you got to get through him. And I think this is going to be the one that's going to show it. So
I agree.
Either going to be Joe Pfeiffer or he's just going to be Joe Pfeiffer. And I'm thinking he's going to be Joe Pfeiffer on that night. So
I think he definitely can. I'm excited for it. Big breakout opportunity for him, as you
said.
And
Elon Musk is going to be there. So, you know, everybody's going to be trying to show up. Did you see that?
No.
Says that Elon Musk is going to be up in the crib on Saturday. So people are going to be showing out. It's going to be nuts, man. Like, and that just goes with, we knew that there's going to be some celebrities and people coming in town. But from what I'm hearing, yeah, and I think Junkie wrote something about it. I'm not sure where they got the word from it. But, yeah, I'm hearing that Elon's supposed to be there. Some other people I'm sure are going to be in town, you know, with the Super Bowl and people trying to come out and see the UFC stuff. And I guarantee none of them are going to be sad and bitching about it being at the Apex. They're going to be glad that they're on fights on Saturday night, that they're going to be in some quaint little nice little setting. And the fighters are going to love it. And I guarantee, just like when we weren't there, even the fighters that fought in that empty ass space when it was just Zuckerberg said there was something about fighting in front of like one of these names that you hear that's like moving the world around. Yep. Elon Musk is one of those cats, man. So I think these fighters are going to go out there and probably have butterflies just knowing that there's him and probably NFL athletes and legends out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Marino's up out there, and who knows who else might be out there. I'm sure McAfee might be out there.
I'll tell you what, so as it stands right now, I will not be there on Saturday night. I'm hoping I can change it. The flight's back, and clearly, obviously, because it's the Saturday night before Super Bowl, the morning flight. So I leave tomorrow for Philadelphia. We're doing CFFC 129, two title fights. Should be a fun card. I don't know if you got to see this. You've been busy. CM Punk is hurt, so he's getting surgery, so he's going to be out. I think he's actually – I don't know if he already had it. He's getting it sometime this week. So I know he felt bad, but he can't be there. So – we got together.
That's all right. Dude, get your arm settled.
get your arm settled so you can get back. So we got together and we were like, who can we bring in? And we settled on the name Renato Money Moicano.
I did see
is going that. To be on the mic. It's just me and Moicano.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm anxious to see.
Hey, I support our boys in blue. I support our police force and our future police force. Dude, if he's been on fire on the mic.
Yep.
And I don't anticipate that he's going to be anything but the best professional on that night. He understands when you get an opportunity like that, don't be up there and just talk random shit just because you have a mic. You know, some of the stuff he's been saying, he's been really, really good about getting out there and making a point to really say some amazing shit when he gets on the mic. So I think it's going to be fantastic. And you guys have always had a good chemistry.
Yeah.
Even when he walked back, I saw your video when he left the cage. He like practically walked straight into your camera because he wanted to like chat with you. So I know you guys have always had a good rapport. So that bodes well for the fight night as well. So
I think it'd be a lot of fun. So flying back on Saturday for the fights, the morning flights, a lot of time. I mean, last week I did the same thing. I came from North Carolina. I took the morning flight and I made it back in time. The morning flights into Vegas were insanely expensive, which I'm sure is just because – last second people coming in to party the night before. So yeah, I had to take a PM flight. But I'm hoping that maybe I can do like one of those, same day changes or whatever, those last second changes and make it back early. So if I can be there, I will be there. I probably won't, if I'm being honest, just based on,
that commentary life, man. That full-time commentary life.
That full-time commentary life, part-time checking in.
Hey, John Anik, better watch out. Somebody coming for him. Watch out, brother.
I'll still have the and a half over there afterwards. I'll watch the fights on the plane home if that's the case. And for everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/TheMMAROadshow, I'll definitely still deliver on that. Co-main event, Dan Ige, Andre Feely. Should be a lot of fun. As you know, of course, those guys were nothing but respect towards each other today. But both of them said, got all the love in the world, but it stops when we close that door because we got to get down to business. A funny one was Michael Johnson and Darius Flowers. Interesting because Darius Flowers, he's making his second UFC walk. Michael Johnson's making his 28th UFC walk, and they're going against each other. But Darius was actually pretty funny. He was talking about that him and Michael Johnson actually had a pretty cordial relationship until they signed to fight. And then Michael Johnson blocked him on Instagram, which I think Michael Johnson kind of does that with any of his opponents. I just don't think he likes to see anything about his opponent or whatever, like when he's getting ready for him. But Darius was like, oh, so now you think what? We're going to fight, and then afterwards you're going to unblock me, and we're going to be cool? Like, nah, fuck you. And I was just like, okay, all right. So he's like, I mean, it's not personal or nothing. He's like, it's all business for me, but, you know, you're going to block
personal, me. Personal, though.
I know,
sounds
right?
Personal.
I know. He's like, oh, so we signed a battle agreement, and you're going to feel some kind of way? He was like, okay. And I was like, well, do you feel some kind of way? Oh, no. It's all just business for me. I was like, uh-huh. I can tell. Yeah.
Okay,
totally.
Okay.
Hey, you know what that
so
reminds me of?
So you're going to block him. He's going to unblock you, and you're just going to block him because it's just business.
Yeah.
You're going to re-block him back just because it's business.
It reminded me like when I'm like talking to my wife, I'm like, are you okay with it? Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah, no, I'm not upset at all about your decision-making last night. Like, no, you're good, you know?
You're most certainly not good.
Yeah. No. Everything's fine. Everything's good. No, don't worry. You worried about it. No, I'm good. No, everything's good. I'm good. No. Quit asking me.
That's funny. Because, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, you're talking about Michael Johnson's work. I feel like we watched him grow up in front of us. I mean, like, I remember when he first came to the UFC, he was still just a young pup, man.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy. He's 37, and we've been watching. Let's see. His UFC debut. Oh, my Lord. Ultimate Fighter, well, that was Ultimate. That was still when they did exhibitions in 2010.
Oh, yep.
Holy
We've been watching
cow.
The man for 13 years, dude. That's crazy.
That's for crazy.
Yeah,
we
literally
crazy.
Have watched him grow up.
I think I picked Johnson in our staff. Granted, we don't normally pick, like, our picks never go below the main card, but we end up picking the whole fight card. But I think I picked Johnson on this one. I think this is one of those ones where we might see that vintage Johnson, because especially maybe in this case, like you said, if they've been cordial and they've kind of maybe have a little knowledge of each other, we're not going to see, he's not going to go in there any intimidated. Maybe we'll see those glimpses. I mean, he's getting long in the tooth, I guess, for what a 37-year-old could be, or a 38-year-old, but it's just because that many fights, man, at some point, you know, your body's going to start showing it. But I feel like this is one of those ones. I don't know, maybe I'm still just a homer for him, because I feel like I've been watching him my whole involvement with, like, the UFC. I feel like I remember when he came on, and I was just I loved his story, and I've always been a fan of his. So maybe that's just me. Maybe
if
I'm
you,
just biased towards
if
him.
If you cover somebody's career closely, and I don't mean just you watch them fight and you write, but when you're literally interviewing them, you know, routinely for over a decade, you're going to cheer for them. Like, you just can't help
it's
it.
It's
kind of
hard
not
to, I guess, right? We're only humans.
You're just human. We're like, I've been seeing this dude. As you said, we've watched him grow up. He's watched us grow old. You know, we know each other. You know what I'm saying? We know each other. So
I didn't have all the grades that got on me now.
He's like, I remember you. You were a younger man.
You got old now. Look at you. You're all old now.
So funny. All right, listen. Busy week. It's been a busy week. It's going to continue to be a busy week. I'm like I said, hopefully I'll make it back for the fights. I probably won't unless I can get a last-second flight change. But meanwhile, you are going to continue with your Super Bowl coverage before you shift over.
Two more days.
So you get to live the high life.
One more day. Tomorrow's
the
last day.
Live the high life for one more day, and then step on down all the way.
It's been,
down.
I'm the first one to say that, man, just doing enough of a UFC event and then just doing my regular work, I'm fine with that just being a work week. Like, that's enough. And then throw 3 days of Super Bowl Radio Row stuff and other stuff going on. It's a bit much, but honestly, it's been pretty energizing just being around the environment. I say that now because it's my only one. If this was like a regular thing, I might be like, okay, I'm over this stuff, like, really quickly. But right now, it's been a blast. So yeah, there will be that moment tomorrow when it's the last day of working with some of the my USA Today cohorts that I don't ever see. There'll be a little sadness. There'll be a little sadness because it's been kind of fun to be part of the bigger whole that is our organization. Yeah, it's been fun, man. I love the fact that it's been pretty much nonstop Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let's do this. Saturday, fight night, and then Sunday, I will have my day of rest. But
that's
let's
awesome.
Go, baby. I'm stoked, man. I'm enjoying this week, man.
It's
pretty cool, man. And I'll be ready. Friday, I'll be there doing the weigh-ins. We'll be streaming on the Junkie. I'll be psyched to get back into this, watching these dudes face off back in my area. Because I see all these other athletes, and I'm like, I don't know who any of you are. But I'll get back in there Friday when they're all half naked. They're half naked in their underwear. And I'm like, I recognize that birthmark on you, son. What's up?
It's like, how do you recognize these athletes with all their clothes on? This is weird.
Yeah, right. That's so wrong, but it's so true. It's so true.
Oh man,
it's ridiculous.
Great.
But awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man. Yeah, this week's been fun, man. It's been a lot of work, but dude, I'm really really enjoying it. So
I love it.
Yeah, let's go.
It's funny what some new things in our life can do, man. And a little break 100%. From the routine is awesome. So, well, cool, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your Super Bowl coverage. Enjoy that fight night coverage. I'll probably be watching from a plane if I can make it into the Apex. I will. If not, I will catch up with everybody over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. And then, of course, we'll get together again next week and continue it like we always do when it's back to a non-Super Bowl week. And, oh, it's a pay-per-view week. Then we get into big pay-per-view, and we'll be together. And I think we're both going to make it out to Anaheim. So maybe we do something on I know that we both – are going in on Thursday.
We'll be out there Thursday. I'm going to miss the media day with some friends in town, and I'm leaving out first thing Thursday, so I'll be there Thursday morning.
It's funny because I'm just doing it on my own. I'm going down just for the press conference too. So maybe we'll talk. Maybe we push back a day so that we can both do it like from the ground in Anaheim. You know what I mean?
Thursday night.
Yeah. Maybe somewhere around that, like maybe after the press conference or something like that, so we can actually have something to talk about. We'll figure it out. We'll get all that scheduled.
It'll be good to be together on the road instead of like you on the road, me at home, which is fine. I do like staying home, but I mean, it'd be cool because it'd be actually a
road show. MMA road show from the road. Maybe a day late. We'll figure that all out. We'll deliver it to you. In the meantime, everybody enjoy the fights. Enjoy Super Bowl, man. Obviously, it's always a fun Sunday. As I said, I believe the quintessential American sporting event, so hopefully everybody enjoys it. And more than anything, of course, thanks for listening.